All right, church, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go and get started here with some announcements. We just would like to remind you what's going on at your church. Hope you call this your home church and hope you do your best to serve here. Amen. And let's continue to keep each other in prayer when illness prevents us, work prevents us. For those that are laboring, sure to appreciate you. So quick announcements, guys. We just want to let you know we are actively abiding by our church calendar in love, just to remind our members, so that way you don't have any questions concerning future events. And also we announce it before for certain things going on. So as I've been letting you guys know for about a couple of weeks now, I was invited in our church to Grace Baptist Church in Corona for a missions Bible conference style kind of thing going on up there. You guys already know different churches have, you know, conferences and what have you. So they're up there at 6, may take us about 45 to get there. So if you'd like to join my wife and I, we're going to be carpooling, leaving around by 4:45 from Oceanside. So if you plan on going with us, that should be a blessing. Please let us know. If you don't, that's okay. Just pray for us. And we're just going to go up there to be a blessing, meet some people. Go ahead, comment. That's today. That's today. So today is this trip up here to this church up north in Corona. And then, you know, we just like to go and visit different churches every so often and then invite our church members, whoever wants to go. So you're more than welcome. Dinner provided. Amen. Dinner provided. So just want to let you guys know for that today. We may go tomorrow night as well for the Monday night because, you know, sometimes church conferences are like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, stuff like that. We may go tomorrow as well. We will let you guys know, okay? So that's our announcement. Number two, I just want to thank God for our soul winning, our evangelism. You know, I know some of you guys are unable to come because of work, and I know sometimes sickness prevents you from coming to, if you will, joining us. And then others, y'all just sometimes forget or you sleep in playing video games. Hey, we're praying for y'all. There's mercy, man. You know who you are. So here we go. I just want to let you guys know the good news. Here's what's cool. My wife and I, we went door knocking yesterday over there where we left off there, had some great interactions. We had to cut it short because somebody had an emergency potty break. I ain't going to point any fingers, amen, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of had to stop it on the quicks, come back here, hold it down. And then I said, okay, Katie, since we finished like 30 minutes early, let's give the Lord 30 minutes more downtown at the pier. So that's what we did. We went down there at the pier, and as Jamie knows, there's a lot of Marines down there, a lot of Marines. Had a chance, Jamie, to talk to different Marines, Chase, Tansen, and all these other guys. Let's keep those guys in prayer. Amen. Hopefully they get saved and hopefully they come to church one of these days. But this lady, she prayed with Katie, guys. She gave her this license plate, John 14:3. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what she's doing walking around with license plate covers, but she was walking around with license plate covers out in their pier. She told Katie that she's from Los Angeles and she just likes to be an independent witness. That is, someone just wants to tell people about Christ, hand on a little track. And so she prayed with Katie. She blessed her. And you never know how God is going to encourage you or bless you when you're serving him. So my wife and I were out there for about 2 hours downtown witnessing, doing a little street ministry. We had a chance to minister to a lot of Marines, had some great conversations, helping people understand the Bible doctrine. This one kid was coming from a Mormon background, had a chance to show him the scripture, and then planting the seeds, if you will, just a lot of gospel seeds. As you guys know, we don't force conversion. We say, what does that mean? We don't just say, okay, pray with me right now to receive Jesus. No, no. We ask them, would you like to be saved? Would you really want to, you know, understand how to do that? And we let them respond. We don't want to do it for them. We don't want to force them. So that's why, if you will, we're not always having soul salvation because we're not trying to impress upon them or coerce them. And then when it is sincere, praise God, then we pray with them. We give an example, tell them how to do it. So yesterday was great. We had a great time serving Jesus. And again, that's our duty. As you guys know, Jesus commanded us to go into the world, preach the gospel. And then as a church corporately, you want to go with your church. You want to represent with your church. You want to be faithful with your pastor. Go out there when you can. So again, friendly reminder for our schedule. As you guys know, Saturdays, we start meeting now at 10 o'clock in the church, 9:45, coffee, get some breakfast. We pray. We go door knocking for about 2 hours, just right here in the neighborhoods, just inviting folks. Take a lunch break, pump each other up, go downtown to the pier from about 1 to 2:30, and then call it a day. You see there? Not too much. And then every other Thursday, sunset at the downtown area. That's where we met Jamie right there. That's where we go every 2 weeks, if you will. And so let's work for Jesus, guys. Amen. We already work for the world of the mammon of unrighteousness. Y'all get your direct deposit for that money you need to pay your bills. How about working for Jesus? Put some hours in, clock in for Christ, and let him know how much you're thankful. So just want to let you guys know the praise report. And then my wife and I had a chance to visit some old friends from our old church in Hemet. It's about an hour and a half up north. Just had a chance to love on them, minister to them. God has done a great work in their life. Great testimony. Former gangster, got saved. Former background Chicana, got saved. Kids all over the place, but Jesus redeemed their life and then brought them back, restored them. Man, they got a house out there. They're serving God. It's so good to see that. So we had a great time. We didn't get back until late, but we got joy because of Jesus. Amen. So thankful for my wife. I'm always boasting because, you know what, in the end of the day, she's my right hand, and she is faithful to help me and follow her husband in the work of ministry. So husbands, that's her duty. Wives, support, be that help me to your husband, support him to go out there. And so let's try to do that more together, church, this year than last year. Amen. Okay, other announcements, study blogs. We're going to talk about this one today. We're going to use that for some of our study today. But anytime you guys want to study, if you will, little articles, next Friday discipleship class, we're going to be focusing a little bit on what I did a long time ago, titled The Book of the Living, and that kind of corresponded with some of our material that we were talking about. So we're going to talk about this one. So these are just some cool articles that I post up. I study, I prep it, and just to bless you guys, make a little picture to give you guys a visual. Amen. Live stream links, again, if you have social media, you know, Facebook, YouTube, don't be shy. Subscribe, like, share if you can. Sure to be a blessing. And then last but not least, if you're a member of this church or if this church has been a blessing to you spiritually, we sure to appreciate it. If you want to be obedient to the command of giving of your finances to help us to take care of our church rent, gospel tracts, missionary support, and whatever else the Lord might lead us to do, you guys can do that. There's a box right back there, or you can do it online through PayPal. Remember, it's between you and God. 2 Corinthians 9, the Bible says there in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look at what it says, church. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So what do? You give. But what you purpose in your heart. But what is God looking for more, church? He's looking for your heart. He wants a cheerful giver. Do you see there? So don't give grudgingly. Don't give because pastor's looking. Don't give because someone else is looking. No, give because Jesus is worthy. Give because Christ died for your sins. Give because you're thankful that you're no longer going to go to hell. And just say, God, I'm thankful for the finances you gave me, my work, my ability you gave me to work. Here's what I want to give for your church. And by the way, he doesn't need it. He's the creator. It's for his church on the earth. People that have needs, amen. So between you and God, just go ahead and keep taking care of that, y'all. You already know we don't pass the hat and we don't force no one around here, amen. All right. Let's see. Other announcements. I think that's pretty much it. Just wanted to catch everybody up with. That's the, if you will, direction there. If you want to go with us today, just please let us know. We sure appreciate that. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get back on our Bible train. Book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Some of y'all got some new Bibles now. Amen. Let's break them bad boys in. Amen. And then some of y'all just need to start working on them Bible thumbs versus the video game controller thumbs. Amen. Let's just start opening up them scriptures. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to be back on a verse-by-verse study through this book. And as we start today, the title is The Body That God Prepared. The Body That God Prepared. Today, we're going to do an in-depth study concerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, how God formed and prepared that body for the eternal word to inhabit, to live as a man, in order to die as a man for the sins of the world, resurrect as a man from the dead to offer you, mankind, eternal life. It's amazing. The God of the Bible became a man, and that's why he can sympathize with you, sinner, because he knows what it feels like. That's why Jesus Christ is so good. That's why Jesus Christ is better than religion. That's why Jesus Christ is better than the law given to the nation of Israel, because in those sacrifices, you couldn't take away sins, but his sacrifice can. His sacrifice can give you peace. The sacrifices and offerings of the law couldn't do it for any sinner. So today, I want to focus on Jesus. I want to worship Jesus. And now I want to live my life in obedience for what God planned for my salvation. All right, look with me now back here in Galatians 4. We're going to focus in a little bit more. And then just to quickly remind you guys of the theme of the book of Galatians, just look up to the projector. You don't have to turn there. Just look up here, Galatians 1:4. We're talking about real quick. What is the theme of the book of Galatians? It is teaching saved Christians on how to live a life that is victorious over sin. It is reminding us Christians of the life that Christ gave, the faith that he imparted unto you when you became a born-again Christian, and the ability that his Holy Spirit has to help you to resist sin and to continue to deliver you from sin. Look at Galatians 1:4 with me on the screen. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So we're going to learn doctrine, the first couple of chapters of Galatians. But then the last half, we're going to learn conduct, practical conduct. That means how to live now as a Christian. Here's what God did for you. Here's the doctrine. Here's the prophecy. Here's everything fulfilled from Scripture and the Old Testament, the person of Christ, the Trinity, all that. But then he's going to remind you, sinner, okay, now here's how you live with all that he gave you. Here's what he expects from what he has given to you and what he's commanded from you to do, and here's how you can do it. So today, friend, I'm not focusing, and I don't want to really focus on the day of your salvation, even though that's important. You know, like a testimony of when you ask Christ to come into your life to save you. What I hope to see and what I hope to hear from you is, what did Jesus deliver you from after you got saved? In other words, man, I used to be a hardcore liar, Brother Carlos, but man, I don't lie no more. Jesus helped me out with that. Man, I used to drink alcohol like hardcore, Brother Carlos, but man, Jesus delivered me from that. I used to smoke weed and watch unclean things, and I used to have a cursed and filthy mouth. I used to be disrespectful to my husband, and I used to be disrespectful to my wife. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that means, what did he deliver you from? And if you find yourself struggling with that, are you letting him deliver you? That's the will of Jesus. That is what God wants to do in your life right now, every single day, is he wants to deliver you from the evil in the world and your heart through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Galatians 4, let's go back now. Let's just want a quick nugget there. By the way, if you guys are asking yourself, man, why is Brother Carlos so pumped up? We got coffee in the house. Amen. Woo! Ignite coffee, Brother Jamie. That's some good stuff right there. And that lavender pump too. Okay. Galatians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Look at this part here. Made of a woman, made under the law. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, this afternoon that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would minister to the hearers of the Bible here today, that as they visually see the scripture, as they audibly hear the preacher, God, would you, most importantly, change them. Change them on the inside. Change their heart attitude. Change their laziness attitude. Change their disobedient attitude. Deliver them from this world, God. Whatever's in there, you know what that is, Lord. Please help them to be a better child of the Father before they leave these doors. God, would you help me now to focus, to clearly minister the scriptures that we are going to read today. And Lord, if I have a human error in my presentation, I pray your Holy Spirit would still minister the word of God to their spirit, so that way they would love Jesus that much more. They'd appreciate him that much more for what he did for them on the cross, and that they would leave today's church service with a heart to do more for him than they were doing today and yesterday and the day before. So God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation, and thank you for the deliverance that he's going to continue to do within our life. God, help us to yield now, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about this now in depth concerning God sent forth his son made of a woman. Do me a favor, church. Turn your Bible to the book of Psalm, chapter number 40. We are going to get on our Bible train, and we're going to read a lot of scripture together. So I hope you came hungry, not for some bun cake, even though Sister Katie hooked y'all up, not for coffee, amen, and not to see Brother Carlos' haircut. I hope you came here to hear about Jesus. Hope you came here to study that Bible, amen. And that's what we're going to give you, because that's what's going to change your life. Look at Psalm 40, verse number 1. We're back on that Bible train, y'all. Today, we're going to talk about the body that God prepared. And in a nutshell, and then throughout today's sermon, you're going to understand what I'm meaning. We're talking about the body that was born in that virgin's womb, Mary. That body that was prepared in that womb was not God being born, if you will. That is, as if God had a beginning. That body was simply the body prepared by God in which God would dwell in. And that body would be birthed. But to think that God had a birth date is incorrect biblically. God does not have a birth date per se, because he's an eternal being. What happened was he simply inhabited that body prepared in that womb. And then that body that was birthed was the humanity of the eternal word that we would call Jesus. So with that said, that's a quick nutshell explanation. Let's get through the Bible and start learning a little bit more. Okay, look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Hope Jesus did that for you today, man. That's a good verse right there. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So here we have King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write scripture. And a lot of these are what we call messianic prophecies or messianic foreshadowing. You say, what does that mean? That means that when you read that in the Old Testament, it is talking about something that Jesus would fulfill in the New Testament. So this is what we call a messianic portion of scripture. And so now look at with me now, starting verse number 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So now, as we understand that, I want to specifically focus now with you here today on verses 6 through number 8. Here is someone talking to God, that is, Almighty Jehovah, prior to Christ's birth, hundreds of years before he would be born. And here we have recorded for us a divine council of the members of the Godhead that otherwise you call the Trinity. And here we have something that the New Testament helps us to understand from the Old Testament, a conversation between the Father and the Word. And you can read that in 1 John 5:7. You say, Brother Carlos, how do you know that this is a reference to God talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit and all that? I'll show you in a minute. So just bear with me. Here we have a conversation. Here we have it in eternity. But in places like Psalm 40 and other portions of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will quote this in the New Testament and exposit for us the eternal truth and details of these divine conversations or counsel. I want you to read carefully in verse number 6. Look at what the Bible says. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Are you reading there? I want you to think about this. It sounds wild. Here we have a conversation that someone is having with God, and this person says that God opened his ears to understand that sacrifices and offerings, that is, the animal sacrifices, etc., were insufficient to fully satisfy God's requirement. Then this speaker says to God, I come to do thy will, thy law is within my heart. Do you see that in verse number 7 and 8? So, whoever this is that is speaking, I'm going to show you, God the Father did not rebuke, reprove, or correct the desire of the one who wants to execute that into action. In other words, God did not say, I want to, or I require the offerings and sacrifices, or the sacrifice or offerings are sufficient for man's sin. No, notice there isn't that going on here. Whoever it wants to come into this world to do God's will was not corrected. So keep that in the back of your mind as we move forward. Whoever this is that is speaking, God the Father did not correct that desire to execute God's perfect will in which he would come into this world and fulfill the desire and the pleasure of God. And that, my friend, once that happens, God would accept, that would be superior to those offerings. And this is none other than the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to show you the New Testament confirming this Old Testament verse. Do me a favor, turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews, and let's go to chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. We're on that Bible train, y'all, and let's go there together. Hebrews 2, and let's go ahead and do this here together. Let's come to verse number 6. Hebrews 2, verse number 6. All right, the Bible says here, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now look at verse number 9. But we see Jesus, okay? So in your Bible reading, That's how you're going to interpret the scripture. The psalmist, even though he's talking about man in Psalms in the Old Testament, historically, the Holy Spirit now has given you the exposition, how that's applying to who? Jesus. Okay, there you go. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, that's Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, you see this, sister and brother, verse number 10? You see that word perfect? Keep that in the back of your mind. Keep that in the back of your mind. It's real important. Just think about perfect, Jesus' body, offerings. Look at that. All right, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to tell you, here we have Jesus, who is attributed of being that one prophesied in the Old Testament to be sent and to come into the world, to be made lower than the angels, so that he could what? Suffer. He could taste death for every man, so that he can become man's salvation. But that couldn't be done to the offerings and sacrifices. Couldn't be done. That's why the conversation with the council of the Godhead, what did he say? Offering and sacrifices thou requirest not. God didn't have any pleasure. But it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. I am going to come now to do what you have been wanting from man since the garden, and that man is Jesus Christ. So now let's keep going. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews 10. Look it with me now, starting in verse number 1. Here is the difference of the outcome of the sacrifices. What did Hebrews 2 just tell you? Jesus' sacrifice will make sinners perfect. That's what it just said. Notice the difference between the sacrifices and the offerings prescribed Israel under the law underneath the Old Testament. Look at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto, what does it say? Perfect. So now all you do, go back to Hebrews 2, read Hebrews 10. Here is a sacrifice that can make a sinner perfect. There are sacrifices that cannot make sinners perfect. Here is one man's blood who can make a sinner perfect. Here are animals' blood who can never make a sinner perfect. So who's superior? Who's better? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says the law was given, and it was a shadow of good things to come. Christian, I'm pretty sure you know what a shadow is. By default, it's a cast of a deflection of the light between the source of light and a surface in which that light cast over, and hence the shadow is reflecting that object between the light source and the surface. You know what your Bible says? Between God Almighty and man on the earth, in this case, the nation of Israel, who was given the law, Jesus Christ, who is the eternal word, was the mediator between Jehovah and Israel. He is the good thing. He is the image of which the law shadows. In other words, when you read about righteousness and holiness and all those perfections required, it was casting the shadow off the person of the Word of God. And that's why when he comes into this world, he fulfills it to the T, because he was the lawgiver himself. It was righteous the whole time. Now, side nugget, look up to 1 Timothy chapter 1 on the projector. I'll make it easy for you. Just look up here, 1 Timothy chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Look up into the projector in verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Let's look up here. The Bible says here, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So the law is good. There is a purpose for that law for the nation of Israel. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Okay, let me repeat that one more time. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So, once again, sacrifices, offerings, could never take away sins. It can't make a man perfect. It's not for a righteous man. It is to condemn a sinner for his sin. You are a sinner because you stole a man's property. You're a sinner because you lied. You're a sinner because you committed adultery. You're a sinner because you committed infidelity. You're a sinner because you profaned God's name, didn't do this, didn't do that. That's the law. It can't make that sinner bringing the sacrifice of the temple perfect. It can't take away their sins. So then what's the purpose? We'll get to that in a minute. But until then, I'm just here to tell you, it's the shadow of the mind, the heart, the character of the person of Christ. But as you can read today, Christian, its intent was never to take away sins, to offer salvation for the soul through the offerings, but to remind its reader, you got to trust in the mercy of God. Look it with me now. Let's go back to Hebrews 10. You have it there. Look at Hebrews 10 once again, very, very carefully. Read with me now, church. Look at here. Verse number 2. For then, would they have not ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. If the sacrifice of an animal, a goat, a bird, could deliver a sinner's sin from their soul, then God said they would not have ceased to be offered. That temple would not have been destroyed because it was required at that temple with the Jewish priests right now. But that was never its intent. You say, show me one more. I will. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Quickly, Galatians 3, just look up to the screen. I'm just reminding you. Look at here, verse number 21. Bible says here, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So once again, I must remind you of the plain teaching of Scripture, not man's commentary. The offerings or the sacrifices Israel was commanded to offer could never save their soul. It can never justify their soul. They were the response of a thankful heart to God after trusting Him by faith in their offering. And only after they have sincere faith in God's mercy, then God would accept that for the remedy of covering their temporal action while they're living in the land. You say, can you show me that? I will. We'll go to Psalm 51 in a minute. Let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, look with me now in verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. Can anyone think of a church, a religion, organization, who sacrifices every Sunday and reminds sinners why they're not perfect? Anybody? The Catholic Church. Every Sunday, that priest offers that little wafer. He is offering to God Jesus. That's what he's doing. That's what you call transubstantiation. He is saying, everybody here, you're still not perfect. I got to offer this little bread that's supposed to be Jesus, and I'm supposed to, in the stead of mediator, offer to God Almighty on behalf of you today the body of Christ. And what did he say? The blood of Christ. And he asked God, receive it. They're wrong. They're in error. And they're leading sinners astray. You know what's good about that Bible you're reading? One man already did it for you. He already accomplished it on your behalf. And if you trust him as your Savior, you're good. You're good to go for eternity. You don't have to keep offering Jesus every Sunday. He was already offered one time, amen. And when you ask him to save you, he done made you good before God. He done made you right. I'm just keeping it in layman's terms, amen. All right, now look at here, verse number 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Oh, there it is now. There's the psalm. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Are you ready for this, Christian? Y'all better listen up. Listen up. Who's coming into the world? Say it. Jesus. Now, you know him because that's his human name. But he is the eternal Word. The eternal Word. According to the Holy Spirit, the eternal Word had a conversation with God, Psalm 40. And when he said to God, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. That's what he said. The eternal Word is talking to God the Father, and he said, God, I know you're not going to accept those offerings to take away sins. I know that blood of that bull and that goat and that dove, I know it's not going to take away sins. But I know you're going to prepare a body for me. That's exactly what he said. Now look at verse 6. And burnt offerings and sacrifice for what? Sin that was had no pleasure. So every time that Jew would come with that sacrifice, whenever they had a temple available, and a tabernacle, because you guys remember they were in bondage for many, many years. They couldn't do it properly for hundreds of years in captivity and bondage. But when they could, you know what God Almighty said, Jehovah? I'm not pleased with that. I'm not pleased with that because it's not sufficient. It's not perfect. But one day, God would prepare a body that would be perfect, and he would have pleasure in that man's body. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 7. Then said I, this is the eternal word, having a conversation with God. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, now, real quick, here's a side nugget. The Holy Spirit is giving you the commentary of the Bible. That's why I tell you, leave the scripture alone. God is explaining the Bible for you. You don't need to go to Bible college or school to figure this out. Look at what he says. Above when he said, here's God helping you understand. Here's what he's talking about. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Man, God makes it so easy. Look at what he said. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the? That's what the Holy Spirit said. Holy Spirit just told you that's what God is referring to. The sacrifices and the offerings of an animal's blood to take away sin, God has no pleasure. God has no pleasure. Then, verse number 9, said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. You say, what does he mean? Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the what? Offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's why being a Catholic is not going to save you. Being a Baptist is not going to save you. Being a Protestant, being a Mormon, being a black man, being a white man, all of those outward professions will not save you until you profess that Jesus Christ is sufficient for your salvation. Body of Jesus Christ, his life, his faith is sufficient to save your soul today. His body, his life is who God finally had pleasure in when he looked down to a man on this earth. That's a sacrifice that I'm finally going to accept on behalf of sinners. So then, what was the purpose, or if you will, the proper reception between Jehovah and Israel whenever they do it? I'll get there. I'll explain. What I want you to focus on, there is a body that God would prepare for the eternal word to inhabit, in which he would live a perfect, sinless life as a man subject to the laws of God. That means he is under God's laws. He is under the authority of God's laws. And because he would be the first man to fulfill the laws of God, he would never sin. He would never have a foolish thought. Remember how the book of Proverbs says, every foolish thought is sin? He would never lie. He would never disrespect God inwardly. He lived as a faithful Jew outwardly, and that's why his blood and his body would finally be the sacrifice that God can say, man, that smells good. Man, that cow doesn't smell good. That bullock doesn't smell good. It's not perfect. But man, that body of Jesus Christ, that blood of Jesus Christ, that's a good sacrifice. I am now ready and willing to forgive sinners if they trust my son. All right, anybody here? Anybody here? Okay, so look at now. I'm just giving you, that's the Holy Spirit giving you the commentary of the Bible. We're not adding to, we're not taking away. Here we have it, friend, not man's commentaries. Here the Word of God, inspired by God, giving you an explanation. The Holy Ghost has already given you the greatest commentary on Old Testament doctrine. It's found right there in the New Testament. So any church, any Christian, any individual, any association, denomination, priest, pastor, teacher, whoever teaches you that sacrifice offerings were required to take away sins prior to Christ's death on the cross are wrong. They are ignorant of New Testament exposition, and they're in error of their interpretation. Notice, Brother Carlos did not call them heretics, as some of them might want to call me because I disagree with them, but I'm just telling you, if the Holy Spirit said, he talked to God and said, you're not satisfied with that, and if the Holy Spirit said, this body he'll be satisfied with, I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. You say, brother, show me three verses. I will. First one, Hosea 6. Look up to the screen. Hosea chapter 6. If you were taking notes, there's some good stuff right here. Look here, Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6. Here's what God desired of that Hebrew. Here's what God desired of a proselyte that is a Gentile who would try to become a Jew, right, and in the religion. Look at verse number 6. For I desired mercy. Say with me, church. Anybody out there? And not sacrifice. and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God wanted that Hebrew to love him more before he gave him that offering. God wanted that Gentile proselyte to just have a desire to love him more before he brought that little dove to the sacrifice. You see there? Look at Micah. Micah chapter number 6, scripture number 2. Look in Micah chapter 6. Look it with me here, starting verse number 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? So what did God require of that Hebrew, of that Gentile proselyte, before they come to his temple, before they offer that sacrifice to cover a temporal, if you will, fault or transgression in the land of promise? He wanted you to love God. He wanted you to walk with a humble heart before God. He wanted you to love mercy. He wanted you to have a love for him inwardly so that you would be more than glad to honor the law outwardly. But if the heart wasn't there and the outside is right, that is all the offerings, he ain't going to accept it. I'm just telling you, that's what the scripture says. You say, show me one more. Okay, Mark chapter 12, look at Jesus. Y'all ain't going to argue with Jesus, amen. Y'all can argue with Brother Carlos all day long, but I know you will not argue with Jesus. Look at Mark chapter number 12. Look at verse number 30 through number 34. Here is a Jew, the people that God gave the laws to, not you Mexican forefathers, not you American white forefathers, not you Anglo-Saxons, Africans, Asians. Here is God. He gave his law to one people group on the earth, the nation of Israel. Here is a Jew having a conversation with this God, manifest in the flesh. Here's what he says. Look at Mark 12, verse number 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, how many of you guys believe Jesus today? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that he was God manifest in the flesh? Raise your hand. You know what God just told you? Out of all the laws that I give my people Israel, there's only two that are the most important. If that Hebrew can just get a hold of these two, everything else will be accomplished that they're expected to do. One, to love God. Just love God. Two, love your neighbor. Here's why. The first through five commandments and the Ten Commandments, if you love God, you're not going to want an idol. If you love God, you're not going to worship false gods. If you love God, you're not going to want to commit adultery against your wife. If you love God, you're not going to want to lie, you know, bear false witness. If you love God, you're not going to want to steal. Are you with me? So here we have it. The two greatest commandments, your God told that Jew, if you can get a hold of these, everything else will work itself out. But it starts with love. So before that Jew can bring that little offering and the blood and the offering and the sacrifice to that priest, you know what God was expecting for that Jew to have first? Love for him. Love for his neighbor. If that Hebrew didn't have any of that, he ain't going to regard that because he's missing the point. Relationship. Look at verse number 32. The scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. Here's a Jew talking to Jesus. He's God. You know what? You said it right, Jesus. You said it right. I agree with your interpretation of the Old Testament exposition. He did good there. Because there's one God. There is none other but he. And to love him, now listen what he said. To love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, if God required a sacrifice to be equivalent to make himself right with God, then here is Jesus. He has a chance to do it. He has a chance to put it into scripture, and he has a chance to preserve it right now for you. So every one of us would finally have the matter settled of how God dealt with people. Are you ready now? When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, you know, kind of one-on-one. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Whoa. Jesus didn't correct him. Jesus didn't say, you're wrong. Jesus said, you're right. You're almost there. You're almost there. You're so close to being saved. Because what does he understand? Those sacrifices is not what God requires. Those burnt offerings are not what God requires. What God requires is this heart to be in love with him, to have a personal relationship with him. And so then if I love him and I'm thankful for what he's done for me, then I'll be willing and able to do whatever he commands me to do, which is what? Love my neighbor. I ain't going to want to steal from him. I'm not going to want to extort him. I'm not going to want to take his wife and his property and his belongings. I'm not going to want to do wrong if I first love God with all my heart. But if I don't love God, then I'm going to hate you. I'm going to take your money, take your wife, because I don't have a fear of God. You understand what we're saying here? What does it start with, church? A love for God. What did God require of his people throughout time? He wanted them to walk humbly, to trust him, to love mercy. And that's more than rivers of oil, more than any blood of little, if you will, animals and all that stuff. So what are we talking about? Church, trust the plain teaching of Scripture. Don't compromise what the Bible teaches for the favor of man. All right, now let's go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. What are we talking about? Galatians 4 told you, back there in verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God needed to send his Son into this world because the laws could not redeem sinners to be adopted, to be born again. They couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. A body would be prepared. So now look back here now, verse number 5, Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, now here's Jesus, we call him Jesus, that's his human name. But remember, he is the eternal word. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Do you see there? So listen, church, this is very important. Here we have now, when King David wrote Psalm chapter 40, give or take, y'all can read whatever, you know, Bible commentary of chronology dating, whoever you want to do, that's not a problem. But generally, it's dated 1462 BC. 1,462 years before Christ was when King David was moved to write that in Psalm. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. The law was dispensed to Moses on Mount Sinai to give to Israel 1400 BC. And 1025 to 985 BC, King David was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write what he wrote in Psalm chapter 40. What am I pointing out those dates for a reason? The God of Israel found no pleasure in the blood offerings and animal creatures to take away sins from 1,400 years before Christ to his birth. There wasn't one that he'd be satisfied with. 1,400 years since he gave that law to the birth of Christ, there's not one that he would be completely satisfied with to take away sins from a person's life. So here we have it. In eternity, there was a council within the Godhead. The Father and the Word discussed the means of justification, salvation for the souls of man. And it was agreed that the Word would come into this world, be born as a man, and from birth to death, he would honor the laws of God as a Jew, ethnically, obviously, as a man, generally. He would live and fulfill them perfectly from birth to death. And at his death, for the first time in created history, the Father would be pleased with a man's sacrifice. For this sacrifice would be his Son's body, it would be his Son's blood, and it would be his Son's life. The three S's. And as a man, he would be accepted on behalf of Adam's race. Whoever, by virtue of his resurrection, would believe, they'd be saved. Now you say, Brother Carlos, show me those three S's. All right, look up to the screen. Watch this now. I already did the hard work for you, church. Praise the Lord for that. Watch this. The three S's. There are three things that a Christian is saved by. Three things. You say, what do you mean saved? Well, we know faith saves your soul. But do you know that the Bible teaches you that there are some other things by which the Son of God, if you will, has already accomplished that you're saved by wholly? Let me show you. Number one, you're saved by the blood. We know that. We sing the song all the time, don't we? Saved by the blood. We know that. Number two, you're saved through the offering of the body. And number three, You are secured by the faith of Christ. You say, Brother Carlos, can you show me? I will. Give me a second here. Let's go ahead and show you the verses. Look at Romans 5:9. The Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, you're saved by the blood of the Son of God. Number one. Number two, you're saved by his faith. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Number two, you're saved by the faith of the Son of God. And number three, you're saved by the body. Look at Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there you have it. The three S's by which the Christian is completely and wholly saved, justified, and eternally secured. Saved by the blood of the Son of God, saved through the offering of the body of the Son of God, and you're saved by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that good? Bible didn't say works. Bible didn't say your church membership. It didn't say your water baptism. It didn't say you speak in tongues. It didn't say if you give money. Jesus Christ, he was sufficient. Amen? So, for the first time in created history, the Father would finally be satisfied. He would finally be pleased by a man's sacrifice, and that would be Jesus Christ. This is why the Holy Spirit's admonition to the Jewish converts in Galatia is tough. It may come off as rough because he is telling them that law was a yoke of bondage. The law placed a curse unto all who failed to both inwardly and outwardly fulfill. But Jesus, he sufficiently fulfilled them, and by the means of his life, his body, and his blood, that Jew could receive justification, forgiveness, and redemption. So what is the Holy Spirit warning those Jews of? Why are you trying to go back to the shadow when you have the image? Why are you trying to go back to the shadow when you have the image? All right, so let's go back now to Hebrews chapter number 10, and then we'll go to Psalm 45. Hebrews 10, and then we'll go to Psalm 45. So now you hear it, you've seen it, you read it. Once again, the Holy Spirit inspires and preserves his word, and he comments. Verse number 10, that body prepared in the virgin's womb, the eternal word would inhabit, his name would be called Jesus. We who trust in him, we are sanctified, we are forgiven, we are saved forever because of one sacrifice. That's why it's good to be saved, and it's good to know that you are saved as a Christian. You don't have to call yourself whatever your denomination is, per se. It doesn't matter. If you trust in him with all your heart, you are sanctified once forever. That's the good news. Okay, turn your Bible now with me to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. This is going to be interesting. If you've never heard the Godhead talk amongst themselves, I'm pretty sure you've read in Scripture, you know, let us create man in our image, you know, things like that. But here's another recorded conversation that I'm pointing out to you today. This is where we have a recorded conversation amongst the Godhead. This is a messianic prophecy, once again. I already told you about that earlier. Look with me in verse number 6. Psalm 45, verse number 6. The Bible says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Wait a second, Brother Carlos. What's going on here? I thought there's one God. There is. I thought there's only one God of Israel. You're right. But according to the Bible, God is talking to God. And he is saying, God, your throne is forever. God, your scepter is forever. Your kingdom is forever. And the Holy Spirit is inspiring, again, the psalmist. Therefore, God, the one who's being commended of God, he said, thy God hath anointed thee. This is why the doctrine of the Godhead, or what you call the Trinity, is biblical. There are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that are eternally existent. You have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word became who we identify in his humanity, Jesus Christ. So that's why we don't have no problems. it's okay for God to talk to God and say, you're God. It kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it? But there you have it. There you have it right there. Jehovah's Witnesses do not want to believe the Bible, and that's why they deny that. You say, Brother Carlos, now show me where it says it in the New Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1. And as you guys can see here, we're just giving you scripture with scripture. There you have it. Look at Hebrews chapter number 1. This is why the Holy Spirit uses strong words in Galatians, and he admonishes Jewish converts, warning them to ignore those Judaizers who are trying to take them back under the yoke. You know, saved Jews. They've been freed by the owner of the land, the earth. Why are they going to let those spiritual perverts try to bring them back to the bondage under the law to rob them of their Savior's freedom? It's very important now that we understand why Jesus Christ is superior and why we need to keep focusing on him now. Okay, Hebrews 1. Read with me now, starting in verse number 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his church. Anybody reading your Bible? What does it say there? By his son. Thank you, Brother Gibby. So should I listen to Jesus, Gibby? I should. Okay. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. For those of you who are following along with me today, where did you read about the image and the shadow of good things to come? Jesus is the express image of God. That law was a shadow of good things, not the very image. Jesus Christ. There you have it. Okay. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. It doesn't say that Jesus did it plus your works. It doesn't say that Jesus purged your sin because of your water baptism also. Jesus, when he died on that cross, he purged your sins. And if you trust him with all your heart, he will save you. You don't need to add to his cross work any of your work or effort. You just need to believe it. Remember, he is the gift of God. You just need to receive the gift. Anybody out here? Okay. Bible says, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look at verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the son, he saith, oh, now I know who he's talking to. Are anybody here with me today? Holy Spirit of God, commenting on the Old Testament. The Bible interprets itself. So back there in Psalm 45, when it said, God, even thy God hath anointed thee, Holy Spirit said, he's talking to the Son. Woo! That's good. Anybody here? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You know why God the Father applauded his Son? Because Jesus hates sin. Anybody here this morning? That's good. All right. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So in eternity, who did God favor above all angels? Who was God foreordaining, if you will, to come into this world to be the perfect sacrifice to take away sins by which no law could do? The Son of God. There you have it. Scripture, scripture. I'm just reading it there. So, God says to God, thy throne is forever and ever. Holy Spirit, New Testament tells you, God the Father told God the Son, thy throne is forever and ever. So do you see, friend? The Bible speaks of the triune nature of the Godhead. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. 1 John 5, 7, if you have your King James Bible, you have it there. Here we read, God the Father communicating with the eternal Word, the Son, whom we now call Jesus, that's his human title, he acknowledged his son's superiority over the angels, man, and laws. All right, we're almost done. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. So then, why is this important? Because of this one little verse. It is debated in your modern translations of the Bible. That's why, guys, as you guys can see, obviously, we are preaching and teaching out of the King James Bible. people can read whatever Bible they want, but we're just going to tell you, you're going to miss these doctrinal truths because these other modern translations omit or change this word. Now, this is why this is important, because as you can see, the scriptures are going to tell you that body that was prepared. And there's a little word in here, guys, real important to get, and let's find out what that is now. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So, guys, once again, he was never called Jesus in the Old Testament. He is the eternal Word. You guys with me now? It was at his birth that his title, that humanity of Christ, he is identified as Jesus. All right, verse number 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Remember that, Psalm 45? Thy throne, O God, shall ever and ever. Okay. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So obviously Mary did not have physical intercourse with a man. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What is that holy thing? Exactly what God already foretold in Psalm 40, a body. A body hast thou prepared me. It is written in the volume of the book, I am come to do thy will, O God. I delight in thy law in my heart. All that. So that holy thing, you don't got to change your Bible. It's scripturally accurate. That thing is that body prepared. God the Father prepared a special body for God the Son to inhabit and to dwell in. And when that supernatural, miraculous thing that I can't even obviously understand, guys, God would come down and begin to live and dwell in a little human body. And be born just like you and I are born. That's the mystery of godliness. But here is why this is so awesome, guys. We're almost done. We have the humanity of the eternal Word. His name would be called Jesus. Here we have now the Father honoring his promise that he gave the Son in eternity, his throne, the kingdom. You can read that earlier right here. But notice the King James Bible uses that translation there, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. That's why I said God was not born. Or God doesn't have a birth date per se. That body that was prepared in that womb, that's what was born, if you will. But the eternal Word just simply inhabited that body and was birthed through that body prepared in the womb. It sounds a little confusing. Stick with it. You'll be all right. A body that God made or prepared would be born. The eternal Word would simply enter into that body in the virgin's womb, and this virgin's birth would be the miraculous fulfillment of the prophecy. Remember that? Isaiah 7:14. A body hast thou prepared me would be the fulfillment in Galatians 4:4, the Son made of a woman, 1 Timothy 3:16 as well. So what I want to close with, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 2, and we're going to finish here. I have some more notes, but for the sake of time, we're going to move on. Hebrews 2, we're going to close here. Hebrews 2. Here's why Jesus Christ is better than religion. Here's why Jesus Christ is better than sacrifices. Here's why Jesus Christ is better than the law given to the nation of Israel concerning taking away their sins and having a relationship with God, helping them to become a better Christian, etc. Here's why Jesus Christ is superior and worthy of your heart, worthy of more time than your family, your friends, your phone, your technology, your modern day age you live in. Here's why he is so much more worthy. Okay, Hebrews 2:14, almost done. The Bible says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So now you know who the he also is. He is the eternal Word. He is called Jesus at his birth. For what purpose though? that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. God needed to manifest himself in a body of flesh. He needed to live as a perfect man. He needed to die so that way he could give you power over death. And he could free you from the power of Satan and the power of sin. It required God coming into this world to do that for us. The laws couldn't do that. That's what the Bible's teaching there. All right, look at verse 15. Deliver them who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Obviously, we know Jesus was a Jew. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the what? Sins of the people. There you have it. There's the better sacrifice. Stick with it. Leave it alone. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. I'll leave you with this. You know what that word succor means in verse 18? Help. Anybody here today struggling with temptations? Let's be honest. Raise your hand. I am. Every single day I struggle with temptations in my body. And when I find myself falling and struggling in sin, I don't find relief or forgiveness or even a smile from people that I offend or sin against. I don't find mercy from man on this earth. There's one man, though, who can have mercy for you. Here's one man who understands what you're going through. Here's one man who understands what you're feeling like. Here's one man who understands the desire that your body is trying to do against the laws of God. And who is that today? That's Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says he is a merciful and faithful high priest. Today, if you find yourself living in sin, if you find yourself struggling with sin, if you find yourself coming short of what God has expected you to do and live as a Christian, can I comfort you today, not judge you? Can I comfort you today, not condemn you? Can I just remind you that there's a faithful man, there's a merciful man that can help you, but you have to let him help you, and that is Jesus Christ. There's only so much that the pastor can do to motivate you. There's only so much that the pastor can do to remind you constantly of the things you ought to be doing. There's one man that can get in that heart, and he can actually heal you. He can literally deliver you from that thing and that desire that is holding you back from living a victorious and Christian life. If you don't find anyone on this earth today that you can sympathize with, or you don't feel like someone sympathized with you by saying, man, they just don't understand. They don't know what I'm going through, Brother Carlos. You don't understand what I'm going through. This is why it's difficult. You're right. No one on this earth can. But there's a man in heaven who came down here. He lived on your behalf, a perfect life. He understood what it felt like to be tempted. He resisted to death. He rose again from the dead. And when you called upon him to save you, he saved you. But what he wants to do, Christian, is he wants to continuously deliver you from sin, from the pain that the world has taught you and Satan's influence. My question to you is this. Do you want to let Jesus deliver you today? Do you want to let him take those desires from you? Because I'm going to warn you now. I'm not going to prophesy, but I'm just going to tell you. If you do not want to let Jesus take those desires from you, he will not. If you don't want to change for him, he's not going to force you to change. If you don't want to get more in the Bible and be here at church on time and be faithful and do everything that he commands you to do, he ain't going to force you. But that's why you can find mercy in him. Because when you come short, you sin, you're getting condemned in your heart, condemned in the feelings, he can help you. He's merciful. That's why I tell you guys, when you pray, go to God and be real with him. Y'all don't have to pray all religious. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to use all, if you will, collegiate words. And for thou hast said, oh, great God, and the word of God. You know, y'all don't got to get all King James Bible in your prayer. Y'all just got to be real with God and say, God, I'm struggling with this thing. You know what it is. I need your help in Jesus' name. Boom. Give it to him right there. And then let the Holy Spirit begin to teach you from the Bible. Here's how you do it now, daughter. Here's how you do it now, son. So when you yield to him and you let him guide you, that's when you're going to see the change in your life. Just be real to God. Say, God, help me. I understand you know what it feels like to go through what I'm going through, but I know I can find mercy in you. I know you're faithful to want to help me. I know you're not going to leave me. I know you're not going to forsake me. Would you help me? So today, friend, do not try to look for comfort and refreshment, even though we're trying our best in your church family. Don't try to find it in a video, in a movie, in Google. Find it in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved you. And what does it say in Galatians 1:4? Gave himself for you that he might deliver you from this evil world. Today, friend, the only one who can help you is Jesus Christ. Would you let him? Today, friend, that's the good news, that the eternal Word, God, was manifest in the flesh, prepared by the Father, that body to inhabit, because that would be the only sacrifice that God would accept. And today, if you are still struggling with your salvation, saying, Brother Carlos, I just want to make sure I'm saved, talk to me afterwards. I'll show you the Bible. We'll pray with you if you just want to make sure. And if you are saved, then would you continue to let God deliver you? Help you to be a better child of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the Bible is so good, and it is so true. If only we will leave it alone. If only we would listen. If only we will yield to you personally in our heart. Not the men of God we like to listen to, online, in-house, not the commentaries, nobody, just you, Jesus, you in our heart. Would you help us to listen to you more? Would you help us to honestly and purposefully set apart time without distraction from our phone to just read the Bible? Would you help us to set apart time from our spouse to just get in a prayer closet, just have a little us and you time, Lord, so that way you could keep delivering us? Our spouse cannot do it for us. Our pastor cannot do it for us. My church members can't do it for us, but you can. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone struggling here today with sin, with habits they know they shouldn't be doing, laziness, excuses, whatever that might mean between you and them, God, would you please tell them today, like you already showed them, you're merciful, you're faithful, that you're ready to forgive them, and you're ready to help them, you're ready to deliver them from that so they could be stronger before you? God, help them to trust you enough to let you do that. God, thank you for all those that came to church today. We pray for those who were unable to make it for whatever reason. Lord, would you be with their spirit? Would you help them, God? Would you minister to them? Draw them closer to your love so they'd be willing to do what you commanded. Father, we trust the rest of this night into your hands. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Thank you for coming to church today. Let us know if you want to come. Let us know. Sure be blessing. May the Lord bless.